This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby in for Virginia Prescott. And we're calling today's show The Gift Show.
This is Molly Donahue. I'm a producer for the Creative Unit. And my fantasy gift, I thought long and hard about this. I couldn't think of anything. And then I was talking with some people, and they were like, well, what if you got, like, a horse or something? And I don't like horses. They scare me. But I did realize that if somebody got me a domesticated fox, I would lose my mind. Because they're so cute and adorable, but they act like dogs, but they're foxes. It would be the most magical gift anyone could give me.
Another staff fantasy gift there. It's the pet you never knew you wanted, but now you're going to be looking that up on Google. Remember, we're looking for your fantasy gifts, so share them on Facebook at facebook.com/wordofmouthradio or on Twitter at wordofmouth. Maybe your fantasy gift is something from the tech aisle, one of those new smart devices on the market, or so-called smart, I should say. From robotic puppies to watches to beds to smoke detectors, objects that are connected to the internet and paired with apps are all over holiday lists. But Rob Fleischman says that not all smart objects really live up to the name. I'll let Virginia pick it up from here.
Really live up to the name. He's principal architect at Akamai and our chief explainer of all things tech. And Rob, I think this is our first show of gift recommendations.
You know, Virginia, it's great to be here, but I will remind you that I have been blessed to be a guest of this show for almost 5 years. And way back in 2012, we talked about the iPod Mini. And we talked about the Surface Pro, and we talked about wearable computers like Google Glass, and we talked about Christmas gifts at the time.
Okay, so it all comes full circle.
That's right. We're back again 4 years later.
But, you know, it doesn't sound like the menu has changed all that much.
Or... You know, you're right. You're right. It's sort of surprising. Even though we're in this tech-heavy world with constant innovation, it's the same old, you know? I mean, look, in 1992, back in the Stone Age, and I won't, I must admit I was working on internet technology even back then. Carnegie Mellon University connected a Coke machine to the internet. You know, it was really sort of the first Internet of Things device. And you could tell, you know, what the inventory of the Coke machine was and what drinks were cold, you know, and that was novel. And honestly, we're pretty much doing the same thing, hooking things up to the internet.
Well, let's remind us, please, if you could, like, practically speaking, what are these allegedly smart objects, or they are also referred to as the Internet of Things?
Right. So the idea really is that rather than your laptop or your smartphone, your conventional tablet device, you have common things. Things like thermostats and washing machines and refrigerators, regular old objects hooked up to the internet, giving them some intelligence and remote control, either by a web browser or an app.
Where do you see the utility in a smart gift? You know, like maybe some examples of something that is worth buying or gifting.
Well, you know, I'm a giant infrastructure geek, and I lean toward the practical. So when I think about the Internet of Things, I actually think more in business. You know, things like water temperature and pressure and air temperature and factories and stores for inventory control and those kind of things. So those aren't really gifty things. But as you apply them to yourself— You know, I lean the same way. Things like the very popular Nest thermostat. You know, what a great device. Automatically adapts the temperature of your home for you, can provide graphs and do energy monitoring. And how great that would be for, you know, your remote lake house so you can see what's going on there remotely without driving up. Those types of devices. You know, cameras. Been a lot of security issues recently with cameras. I think there's going to be a new generation of secure remote cameras. But security and remote viewing is big.
Even inside your refrigerator, from what I understand.
Exactly. Samsung seems to have a great success with this new refrigerator where you can look at what's going on inside. You know, probably helps you with the grocery list, but boy, what a luxury.
I can't imagine it. So what have you seen out there that does maybe not seem like such a good idea? And what would tip you off about that?
Well, you know, we just recently had the Mirai botnet, and, you know, we talked about a local company named Dyn that did some hosting for Reddit and Twitter, and they were attacked by Internet of Things devices. A lot of them were DVRs, cameras, older devices, things like that. And, you know, I'm really worried about low-quality Internet devices. You know, you get some camera for $30 and you hook it up to your Wi-Fi. Well, who are you letting in? You know, what's the security on that? How much technology, how much internet security can you put in a $30 or $40 device that you hook to your network? And now it's inside your network, right? On your private LAN in your house where you're, you know, using your computer to log into your bank accounts, right? So those are the kind of things I'm really wary about.
So are we saying that price point is the greatest indicator of security?
Well, I mean, I could give you an analogy with drones, right? The inexpensive drones these days are toys. You know, if you want a good drone, you're talking a $1,000 price point, buying it from DJI or from one of the high-end drone manufacturers. So that sort of that really carries over into your toys. You know, if you want an internet-connected device and it costs $30, $40, $50, geez, you know, that's going to be a really low-end device, most likely made in China, most likely not remotely updatable, most likely, you know, third-party manufactured, not the company you're actually buying it from. And it's going to be low quality, something that might be a security problem in a year or two.
Well, I have heard that when it comes to smart objects, they're only as good as their app. Now, what does that mean?
Well, what it means is that, you know, if you can't talk to it, you can't control it, and you can't view it, well, you know, what's the point of having a Wi-Fi enabled thermostat? You know, I mean, if you can't view it and see trends and, you know, really get the utility out of it, all you're doing is, hey, what's the temperature, right? And if it's, hey, what's the temperature? Well, you know, I can walk over and look at the temperature. I don't need a fancy Wi-Fi device to do that.
But you can have an app at work, for example, like, oh, I'm going to go home at 3 o'clock this afternoon instead of the regular time. So I want my heat to be on, and you can control it from your app.
You got it. Exactly. And those are the types of things that you want to see in apps. And things like Nest, you know, they learn. They'll say, wow, you know, Virginia came home yesterday at 3 o'clock and I noticed on Wednesday she's home at 3. Maybe I'll just learn that, take care of it for her, you know. So those are the kind of things that the higher end Internet of Things devices have. And you know, it's phenomenal. The growth is phenomenal. I mean, Cisco says by 2030, there'll be 500 billion Internet of Things devices hooked to it. Now, my company, Akamai, we see about 5.5 million new devices a day.
Really?
Yeah. So we have about 22.9 billion today. Our projection is about 50 billion by 2020. So we're you know, a bit below Cisco, but you know, the number of these devices is just growing phenomenally.
I have to admit, that is stunning to me that that many people have smart devices. But are some of those the kind of business and infrastructure-based things
you
that you were talking
are.
About?
You
so not consumer necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, think about how useful this is. You know, you have an old-school factory with temperature gauges all throughout your factory, right? And what do? You got someone walking around looking at the temperature. Well, you know, you hook a little Wi-Fi camera device to that, and now all of a sudden you can remotely see your whole factory. Or, you know, Virginia, you own a network of Panera Breads, right, throughout the country, and you want to understand the air conditioning system at all of them. Are all the temperatures set right? Or maybe the reverse. Maybe it's a maintenance thing. How much power are these air conditioning systems consuming? Wow, look at this one Panera where the air conditioner is consuming twice the amount of power it should. Maybe there's a maintenance issue there. Those are all really useful Internet of Things, remote sensing, remote viewing applications that are really proliferating everywhere because it's inexpensive and makes sense.
Well, if you're looking at holiday gifts, you've probably seen advertisements for smart gifts, watches, robotic puppies, beds, smoke detectors, things that are also called the Internet of Things. And they're connected to the internet for some reason and paired with apps for your phone or tablets. Well, we're getting some advice today from Rob Fleischman, our chief explainer of all things tech in the allegedly smart gift realm. Well, we're going to pull back from the toys for big kids and go to the toys. This is a smart toy called Talkie that retails for about $60. It's like a little plush stuffed monster that also serves as a voice messenger for kids. So let's hear just a bit from the ad.
Hi, I'm Gori, and I'm a Talkie. Talkies help kids exchange voice messages with their friends and their grown-ups. It's a lot like a tin can telephone, but our messages travel over Wi-Fi, not yarn. Kids have really important things to say, and we make it easy for them to say it.
Ding it, ding it, ding it, ding it.
Plow!
Okay, so...
Oh my goodness.
Are you interested in commenting on the parenting question of whether this is a good idea?
Well, Virginia, the folks at Toy Mail that make this are out of New York, and they're good people, and you know, there's some good technology here, and from my understanding, it's pretty secure, and you know, they allow you to create a network of who could send to and from these devices, but boy, you know, you're buying a device so you can talk to your child through a stuffed animal. That's some interesting stuff. Quite a stretch. Whether I'm lining up to do that, fortunately, my girls are a little older now. You know, they all have iPhones and a myriad of devices to talk to me. But I do need to maybe this would be great. I mean, right now I communicate with them mostly by text. So maybe this would be a way for me to actually speak to them.
You'd hear a voice. So what's on your holiday gift list this year, Rob?
You know, it's been 4 years since we talked about this. And I'm going back getting another pair of slippers, just like I said in 2012. I think it's time for a new pair.
Rob Fleischman, 5 years of interpreting what eggheads do, say, think for us here on NHPR. Thanks so much.
Wonderful to be here, Virginia.
I'm Maureen McMurray. I work at Word of Mouth. And for me, fantasy gift would definitely have to be an experience, not like a car or anything like that. I've always wanted to go to Israel, so my fantasy gift would be like a 2-week, all-expenses-paid trip to Israel, first-class flights both ways, and I would want my husband to come along with me. I would also like my daughter to come along with me, but as part of this gift package, I'd want a nanny, so during the day, my husband and my daughter and I could go and see the sights, take in the history, but in the evenings, we could leave her with this like really lovable nanny Mary Poppins type who would watch her and care for her while we went out and had a fancy dinner. So that is my fantasy gift.